first, we've all been part of a learning environment, whether that be an elementary school classroom, a college lecture hall, or on-the-job training. But what happens when we want to learn something on our own time? Not because it's required of us, but just because we want to. Finding the motivation, the time, and the will to persevere can be a challenge. Ulrich Boser is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and founder of the Learning Center. His latest book is called Learn Better, Mastering the Skills for Success in Life, Business, and School, or How to Become an Expert in Just About Anything. Ulrich, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, a lot of your work focuses on the ways we can learn better in the classroom or on the job, but how can we take that and transfer it to learning a new skill or a new hobby just because we want to?
Look, we have to acknowledge that learning is often hard. Think about learning to ride the bicycle, which many of us did when we were younger. It included skinning our knees, falling down, hurting ourselves, and that type of struggle, that type of challenge is inherent to any type of learning, which is, doesn't matter if we're knitting or trying to get better at horseback riding. We have to admit that, you know, learning is just going to take a little bit of hard work.
And I'm guessing that there are actually some pretty big benefits to learning something because we want to, not because we have to. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. When we are motivated to learn, we're going to learn far more effectively. We're going to deal a lot better with those inevitable setbacks. The way that we talk to ourselves, you know, when we're learning something, I don't know if you have this experience, but I hear it from so many others, we talk to ourselves, oh, you know, I am really good at this, or, oh, I knew I was going to fail at this. And when we're motivated and have that sense of, yeah, I'm going to dig in, I really love this, we have much better self-talk. We see learning as this process instead of a sort of test that confirms, oh, we were always bad at this, or, oh, we were always good at this.
Well, and it can be really hard, I think, because a lot of times those messages and those voices are from when we were much younger and maybe much less sure of ourselves. And we've carried that along. Oh, I'm really bad at anything physical. I'm just a klutz. Or, you know, oh, I'm not creative at all. I'd never be able to learn to knit, or I'm never going to be able to learn a language because I did really badly in, you know, high school French or something. How do we get past those messages, whether they're from us ourselves or things that we've internalized over the years?
You make a great point. These messages come from when we were kids, and they depend on whether or not we heard them maybe from a kindergarten teacher or our parents. The first thing I would note is that they're normal. Many, many adults engage in this type of self-talk, and we have to treat that self-talk as a normal process in terms of learning. The second aspect is that when we're talking to ourselves, treating learning as this process, that it is not this test of a fixed ability, but really something that it is inevitable that we're going to struggle, that learning is this process where at the very beginning we're going to make big mistakes, and they're going to be painful mistakes, and that our end goal, with lots and lots of practice, with lots of skin knees, is ultimately to become an expert. Another interesting aspect of this type of self-talk is that it is more effective if we talk to ourselves with authority. I love this detail, but you said at the top of the show, my name is Ulrich Boser. If I talk to myself in the third person, I actually am more likely to follow through with that advice. So if I was struggling with knitting, I would say, Mr. Boser, you really got to keep at it. You're going to have a hard time with this knitting, but if you keep at it, you're going to do a lot better.
Wow. I'll try that. Not on the air, but maybe I'll try that at home. I think that it can be really hard to start. But I think part of what you said there, Ulrich, is, you know, we think of it as like, we're going to start this, we're going to learn how to do it, hopefully, and then we're going to be experts. But is that the point? Or is the point getting there? Does it matter if we ever get really good at something? Can we just do it and enjoy it?
Yeah. I think that's an important point. You know, should we always be sort of inherently motivated? Look, there are going to be some things out there in life, like Excel pivot tables, where we might not just wake up in the morning and be thrilled about the ins and outs of Excel. When we come across those types of challenges. Often they come related to work, but they might be, you know, something else as well. Maybe you want to become a better public speaker because your child is getting married. What's important for people to see is, one, have a sense of agency, that they're controlling it, you know, a sense that they're really in control. And two, really walk through, you know, why it's meaningful for them, why they specifically want to learn it. And so pay less attention to what other people are saying, this is really important. Instead, find your own meaning, and it can be helpful if you just write it down. So that's really important for those things like Excel or public speaking or these types of things that we just have to get better at because we want to succeed at it. But in the end, that type of deep type of pleasure that people find in their hobbies is going to be the type of learning, the type of engagement that really is going to keep people learning for years, decades, keeps people fully engaged.
We're talking with Ulrich Boser right now. He's senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, founder of the Learning Center, and his latest book is called Learn Better. We're talking about learning throughout the life cycle and why it's a good idea to take on something new every once in a while. And Ulrich, so here we are, we're thinking, all right, you know, maybe I want to try something new. Is there a good process to go through to decide what to try? Because, you know, we're not going to live forever. Our free time is probably limited by work and other obligations. Is there a way to choose kind of to discern the right thing for us to try to find something that's going to be really rewarding?
That process of choosing something is going to be very individual. People have to find the thing that's going to engage them. I think what is important when we try out new things is to really stretch ourselves, to challenge ourselves in new ways. This is part of the benefit of learning, that you acquire a new skill that you can apply in new ways. So if you're a little bit more sedentary, you know, try and think about learning to dance. If you often have your nose in a book, try and think about something that is going to challenge you in new ways. What's important when you challenge yourself in new ways, though, is to make sure you have reasonable expectations and set goals that are very process-oriented. So instead of, oh, I'm going to become, you know, great at the tango, instead say, each Tuesday I'm going to spend an hour practicing the tango. And especially if you're in the early stages of the learning process, make sure you have someone, a friend or a teacher who's encouraging you, because that can be really key. But make sure you have reasonable expectations, or you have this experience. I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me and many people that I hear to. You start something and then, you know, within a few weeks you're like, ah, that's too hard, and give up. So those reasonable expectations serve as a type of protection against that.
Well, and there's something built in there too in your example of learning to tango. I'm guessing that also means having someone to tango with. Is there something to be said for trying to learn something new along with someone, or as a new learner, kind of joining some kind of community that will support your efforts, maybe, you know, give you aspirational goals because you see someone who's a little better at whatever you're doing too?
You see someone who's better than you, and usually in these types of communities, you can also find people who are really good at explaining examples. So when we want to learn something from someone else, it's not enough to find an expert. You want to find someone who can explain it well. That second aspect of community is that we're just social beings. We're a lot like bees and ants. And so when we're with other people, when we see other people struggling, when we, you know, are sitting on the couch on a Thursday night being like, oh, I really don't want to go to dance class or chess class or really, you know, hone my math skills, you know, having other people around us who text us and say, you know, let's go. Being in a classroom where you feel like you trust the other people, where there's a nice sense of camaraderie and people are really cheering each other on, that's going to keep us going in those tough times.
It seems, too, that when we decide on what we want to try that's new, what we want to learn that's new, that can use very different types of learning. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, if you want to learn woodworking, that's a very tactile, artistic form. Whereas if you want to, you know, if you really want to learn those Excel spreadsheets, that's a different part of your brain too, or a language or music, or like you said, you know, starting to tango. Is there a way to kind of tailor the type of learning that it would involve to the rest of our lives and maybe to our personalities?
When I think about this, you know, question, and it's really an important one, you know, how can we personalize this? One thing that's important to reflect on is that just doing something doesn't make us get better at that topic. So someone might be doing a lot of woodworking and not actually get better at it. For me, the example myself is driving. Gosh, I may have clocked 100,000 miles since I was 17, and I still have a hard time parallel parking. I still get a little nervous when it snows. Curves make me uneasy. And the key point here is that simply doing something is not the same thing as getting better at it. And so when you think about this question of personalizing your learning, you know, there are going to be a lot of aspects in our own lives, whether it's, you know, woodworking or something else, where we just need an instructor. We need feedback. I think of my own life in handwriting. My handwriting hasn't even gotten better. It's actually gotten worse since I was in elementary school. So what are the ways when it comes to things that we're interested in, how can we get that type of feedback that we know is going to help us get better at driving or woodworking or even penmanship?
So really, there's a difference between trying new things and learning new things, because learning new things really does imply kind of a forward motion.
When it comes to learning, just doing something again and again and again doesn't make us better. Lots of people play tennis day in and day out, and they won't get better. So you described it as a forward motion. I think that's a great way to think about it. I'd add a few more things. One, it's a forward motion because we need that struggle that's really important to learning. We need feedback. One of the reasons that I haven't gotten better as a driver is that despite the fact that my wife does weigh in on occasion on my driving skills, I don't get feedback from a real expert who says, hey, think a little bit more about that curve, or have you tapped on the brakes twice? Have you thought about that enough? Instead, I drive and I think about work, I think about my kids, and I don't really engage. So it's that forward momentum, that struggle, that challenge that makes us do new things, but also feedback, whether it's from a peer or even just self-reflecting a little bit more on what we're doing, or instructors of some type who can say, hey, you know, you should think a little bit more about this, or have you ever thought a little bit about improving on this aspect?
We're talking with Ulrich Boser. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and author of the book Learn Better. We're talking about the value of learning new things and how we can make time for it in our lives. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you currently working on learning something new in your life? What's something you've been meaning to try but haven't quite gotten around to it? And is there something you learned when you were younger that has proven worthwhile over the years? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're continuing our conversation with Ulrich Boser, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and author of the book Learn Better. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's something you've been trying to learn lately? Do you have a learning experience that you'd like to share? Did you enjoy learning that something new right from the start, or did it take a while to appreciate your work? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Ulrich, that last question I think is interesting. You know, it can be exciting, like, oh, I've always wanted to learn, let's say, to tango. I've always wanted to learn to tango, and you start, and you keep tripping and kicking your partner, and you can't get the beat. That doesn't necessarily seem fun right from the get-go. Is that a fairly common experience when you're really trying to learn something that's very unfamiliar?
It is a very common experience. It is a universal experience. And too often, we come across that experience, we trip over our partner, or we start to try and get better at swimming, and we're just gulping in water, we have to realize that that is just such a normal process of learning. And because we're adults and are good at many of the things, or at least proficient at many of the things that we do on an everyday experience, we forget that that types of frustration, those types of challenges, are just simply part of learning something new. And we need to get over those initial learning humps and challenges in order to get better and develop any type of expertise.
Let's go to the phones at 800-642-1234. And Effridge in Madison is up. Hi, Effridge.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What are you trying to learn?
Hey, so for the past year, I've been learning how to speed run video games.
What does that mean?
So it's like taking one of these old 30-year-old NES games and trying to beat it as quickly as possible.
Ah, okay.
And, I really appreciate this topic because I think the stuff that your guest is hitting on is absolutely true and really important for, I think, any skill you learn. The one thing I wanted to add to the conversation was, in my personal experience, when I get to a point where the returns I'm getting on the effort I'm putting in on learning are starting to go down, there's a moment where I need to recognize that my skill has kind of hit a plateau. Mm-hmm. And I think acknowledging that and then trying to break into new areas, at least for me, was an important part of the learning process.
Great. Thanks for that call, Effridge. So he's doing something really unusual and new for him, but he's kind of hit a plateau. He got pretty good, and then he's kind of stuck there. That can be frustrating. I know I've certainly done that myself. Is there a way to get ourselves over those plateaus where we feel like we're just treading water?
Your caller had a wonderful question. You know, what's interesting to me when I think about the learning process is I wasn't entirely sure what exact skill your caller was trying to develop, but we know that there are universals, whether it's getting better at video games, which the caller alluded to, or other practices. And when we hit these types of plateaus, taking a break is really important. What often happens when we're learning is we have this sense of fluency. So if you're, let's say you're getting better at golf, you take the same putt again and again and again. And when you keep on doing it, when you're repetitive in that way, you're not really as focused, you're not really an active learner, and you can have a false sense of confidence. So there's a lot of research on learning. There's been research in basketball, research in higher level algebra, that we're much better to mix up our learner. So your caller who described the value of taking breaks, really made a good decision. Lots of research shows that we should mix up our practice a little bit more. So if you're trying to get better at the piano, don't just play Bach. Play some Beethoven, some Mozart, and then go back to the Bach. Mix it up a little bit more. You're going to have a much richer form of understanding, and you'll get better in a far more faster and effective way.
Let's try to fit one more call in. Bill in Westfield is up. Hi, Bill.
Hello there.
Go ahead.
Yes. I spent some time in Los Angeles when I got out of the Marine Corps, and I met a man who shot pool very, very good. He could beat anybody that played pool. Well, I found out that Willie Marconi, who was a very famous pool player, when he was ready to go to a big tournament or play with someone who was very, very good, he hired this man to come and live with him for a couple of weeks, and he shot pool with him because he was better than Willie Marconi. And I learned from all that if you play pool with someone better than you, you will get better.
Wow. I'm going to stop you there, Bill, just because we're a little short on time. But so that's kind of going back, Ulrich, to what we were talking about earlier, that aspirational kind of model in front of us. If we're doing something along with someone else who's slightly better, it keeps us moving.
Exactly. And at the same time, it underscores another theme. Learning is going to be hard. And so if you want to get better at something, you're going to have to lose. And so when it comes to something like tennis, it's good to play against someone who's a little bit better than you, or apparently in pool, you have that person in Los Angeles who's significantly better than you. Playing against them, this form of challenge is a great way to learn.
And Ulrich, you said that, you know, you shouldn't just play Mozart every day on the piano, vary it up, play, you know, maybe even some jazz and some classical and things like that. Is that a better approach than say, oh, I'm going to try to learn French, and I'm going to try to learn pottery, and I'm going to try to start running? Is it better to kind of keep things related?
Yeah, this concept that psychologists called interleaving is a lot more effective when it is related. So pottery and then basketball, you won't show effects. But if you're practicing something, let's say basketball, it's not a good idea to take the same three-pointer again and again and again. Instead, mix up your learning. So take that foul shot, a jump shot, and then that three-pointer. You're going to be a more active learner, and that's really important. And you're also going to get a better sense of subtlety. When we do the same thing over and over again, it's hard for us to see those subtleties when it comes to learning.
And in just about 10 seconds, Ulrich, give us a little encouragement to go out and find something that we want to learn.
It is such a wonderful experience to learn something new. So you should not hesitate to do it, but make sure that you're focused on process. Make sure you acknowledge that it's going to be hard and you're going to struggle. But in the end, it's going to be worth it.
Ulrich, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Ulrich Boser. He's senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, the author of the book Learn Better. And he joined us to talk about how to make time to learn new things in our day-to-day lives. He says, pick a thing, start it, go through the process, and maybe someday you'll just be an expert.